call to order and establish a quorum.
There goes order.
Norm McClellan.
Lori McClellan.
I'm Griner.
And Rolando is absent. Norm, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any added agenda items?
No, not tonight.
Okay. Right now, I would ask if there's any public comments. Hearing none, I'm going to move on to the public hearing. We open the public hearing as of now, and we would like to have staff comments.
I will get us started with a little bit of background as to why you have these text amendments in front of you tonight regarding the industrial zone and indoor agriculture. So the city council 3 weeks ago voted to put retail recreational marijuana sales on the ballot in November for the voters of the city of Lapine to decide whether to allow or to prohibit. They did not refer to the ballot. That's the expression. There was an actual ordinance that was passed. It's called a referral ordinance. In that ordinance, they did not include growing or production, processing, packaging, wholesaling, any of these other categories that the OLCC has created. So with that, that's essentially saying that these are allowed within the city, and we have been talking to numerous folks who own private land, who are interested in public land, who are interested in a combination of both, and interested in building and growing marijuana in the Lapine Industrial Park. Upon closer inspection of the zoning ordinance in the industrial zone, there is no marijuana line item. And frankly, there is no agricultural, in the sense of growing, in that zone and list of uses as well. What you'll see listed is agricultural processing, but processing is a qualifying term. Processing is different than agriculture. You might have a tomato factory that gets raw shipments of tomatoes and grinds it up and mixes it with sugar and other spices and makes ketchup. That's agricultural processing. But agriculture in the sense of growing is actually not outlined in the zoning ordinance in its current form. So one of the additions in these text amendments is to add a definition. But the other concern then becomes, what do we want the industrial park to look like? Because an industrial park is not zoned EFU, exclusive farm use. It is not a field. It is an industrial park. And so what we thought was prudent, especially considering that we get pretty strong winters here, and that this is potentially a seasonal crop, is to consider the different structures or what that actually means in the zoning ordinance. So let me just show a couple pictures, and then I'll say maybe a smidge more, and then I'll pass it off to Tammy for her staff report and actually talking about the specific language that we are proposing, and we'll go from there. So this is a hoop house. Some would call it a greenhouse, but a greenhouse is many things. This is a hoop house. It is a temporary structure. It is liable to fall apart and blow around the industrial park and not withstand snow loads and not be rigid and not be permanent. So that is a hoop house. You will see that in the proposed definition for the industrial zone, if you have not already, as to something that we do not want to see in the industrial park. That plastic, visqueen plastic, blowing down the street. So I wanted to show that. These are modular structures. A lot of times you'll see them actually used at schools or maybe at a clinic that needs a little extra space. They come in on wheels, but when they're transferred from the trailer and placed on the ground on a permanent foundation, they then become a structure. So they are not a trailer. So again, you'll see specific reference to not allowing trailers in the industrial park for this use, but it's not referring to modular trailers. They come in on a trailer, but once they are made, this is a trailer, this is a structure. So we are not essentially trying to eliminate the use of modular structures. We're trying to delineate the difference between the definition of a trailer and a modular structure. And if you look in our zoning ordinance, the definition of a trailer is something that is on wheels, is temporary in nature. And so there is no issue with these, with the given language in the zoning ordinance as it stands right now. So I just want to show a couple visuals for the commission, for the audience, set the stage a little bit as to why we're discussing this tonight. And I'm going to pass it off to Tammy because she's put a lot of work and thought into this, and she will add more, and then we'll be willing to answer whatever questions you have.
Great, so I want to mention first the applicable criteria for reviewing the proposed amendments, and then I'll go into the actual amendments and walk through those, and then come back and go through some of the specific criteria, just to, so you can see the review process that we went through. So the criteria that we need to review the proposed amendments by are the city regulations that include the Land Use Procedures Code, which manages this process that we're in now, the City of Lapine Comprehensive Plan, as well as the Oregon Administrative Rules, mostly the Oregon Statewide Planning Goals. So I'll come back to those, but I just want to lay those out front, but those are the items that we need to have in mind as we review that. I would draw your attention to your Exhibit A. I put them on the screen so that folks in the audience can see it. But Exhibit A is the exact wording of the proposed text amendments tonight. And I'll just go through that and read them one by one so that we're all clear on what they are and so we have an opportunity to explain them and discuss them. In this case, everything that is double underlined is proposed as a new addition. There are no strike-throughs and removals of the code. The first amendment is to the definitions in Section 8. As you'll note, an existing definition exists right now in Section 8 for agriculture, and it reads, the use of land for agricultural purposes, including farming, dairying, pasturage, agriculture, horticulture, floriculture, viticulture, aquaculture, and animal and poultry husbandry, provided that specialized animal raising, care, and processing is separately defined and regulated by this ordinance. Agriculture includes the necessary accessory uses for packing, treating, or storing the produce, provided that the operation of any such accessory uses shall be secondary and accessory to that of normal agricultural activities. That's how it reads currently for agriculture. There's no reference to whether it's indoor or outdoor, and the code includes agriculture as a conditional use within the residential zone as well as several different of the commercial zones. So we wanted to make it very clear that these are two separate uses we're discussing, and we added a sentence at the end of that proposed to read, agriculture does not include the sale, cultivation, production, or processing of marijuana or marijuana products, or such activities require registration, licensing, or other approval with or from the state. That's to keep agricultural separate and to maintain it in the residential zone. So people can still raise their animals as needed according to code and grow, you know, have their own greenhouses in their backyard if they wanted to, or their own tomato crops or whatever. But then we are proposing to insert a new definition for indoor agriculture, which is what the city is proposing for the industrial park, which include the marijuana growing, as well as, you know, any other indoor agriculture that wanted to occur. So that proposed definition would be indoor agriculture. Agriculture as defined in this code, so it references back to the original agricultural definition, keeps it pretty broad, as well as the cultivation and production of marijuana plants and flowers, provided such use is contained within permanent rigid structures designed to withstand snow and wind loads and not broadcast indoor lighting. Such structures do not include canopies, hoop houses, sheds, shipping containers, trailers, and similar structures. No retail sales are permitted in association with indoor agriculture, and this use is only permitted in the zones where it is expressly authorized as a principal or conditional use. So that's the First Amendment proposals. The Second Amendment is to Section 10 in the permitted uses to the industrial zone. You'll note at the very bottom of page 1, there's a double underline under conditional uses for indoor agriculture. So it's adding this indoor agriculture new use to the industrial zone as a conditional use. And then the final addition in that section is at the very bottom of the last paragraph on page 2 for accessory uses. Sorry, I'm against the screen here. Under the accessory uses to a primary use, the note again is no retail functions are permitted with indoor agriculture, just to make it clear what is and what is not allowed in that zone. So I will move on to staff report, and then we can come back and answer questions about the proposed amendments. As I mentioned, here's the applicable criteria. In particular, focus on the Procedures Code first. This is a legislative procedure, Section 3 of the Land Use Procedures Code. Hearing is required, which is what we're here for tonight. The city has followed all the procedures outlined by the Procedures Code, as well as state statutes for notice and posted notice, individual notice, and newspaper notice. Notice of the public hearings to consider the proposed zoning ordinance amendments was posted at Lapine City Hall, Deschutes County Library, Ace Hardware Store, and the city's website on March 31st. Notice was published to the local newspapers, Wise Buys and Frontier Advertiser, in the April 5th weekly edition. And the notice stated the time and place of the hearings, as well as a general description of the nature of the proposed changes in accordance with this section. As a reminder, as a legislative process, this will go through two hearings, Planning Commission tonight. And if you choose to recommend the amendments to City Council, it'll go for a hearing at City Council at a later date. And those final legislative changes will be adopted by ordinance as City Council if they are moved forward. Moving on to the comprehensive plan. As you know, the comprehensive plan outlines several different chapters that address the state planning goals. A few of them relate, many of them do not relate to the text amendments, so I will highlight the ones that do. The first one is Chapter 2, Citizen Involvement Program. This chapter identifies rules related to citizen involvement to give opportunity to citizens to be involved in the process as it is affecting the codes. And this application and request have been processed and reviewed in accordance with the public notification procedures, as I mentioned. We're here for a hearing. And the application is being reviewed by an appropriately established citizen advisory committee, yourselves, Planning Commission, in accordance with the procedures and this chapter. The next chapter that is worth noting is not maybe directly applicable, but worth noting is Chapter 7 related to public facilities and services. That's on page 4 of the staff report. This chapter is intended to carry out statewide planning goal 11. Related to public facilities and services. Because the population of the city of Lapine is less than 2,500, the city of Lapine is not required to address this goal at the state level. However, the comp plan does discuss it as an important issue. And the goals and policies are directed to the coordination and of public services, provider details, expansion needs, and the city needing to continue to address those. And the policies of the chapter don't directly apply to these proposed amendments because these proposed amendments are not specific to one development. However, the amendments do include indoor agriculture as a conditional use, which includes this general review criterion, I think is worth noting. When it's submitted as a conditional use application, when it comes to the city, it has to be reviewed by all those criteria. And one of those criteria is that no approval be granted for any use which is or expected to be found to exceed resource or public facility carrying capacities, including but not limited to transportation, water, sewer, and utility systems. Any indoor agricultural conditional use application must demonstrate the proposal's compliance with this criterion. Just wanted to note that. The next chapter of the comp plan that's relevant is Chapter 9, Economy, which requires local jurisdictions to plan for and provide adequate opportunities for a variety of economic activities within the city. And the goals of this chapter relate to strategic planning and land inventories to satisfy urban development needs in the city. While the proposed amendments do not specifically relate to these goals, the addition of indoor agriculture as a conditional use increases opportunities within the city for a variety of businesses, supporting the overall intent of the chapter. Chapter 11, Energy Conservation, carries out statewide planning goal 13, which identifies issues with travel, existing development patterns, energy supply opportunities. The policies of this chapter mostly identify residential density along with development and design desires. So again, the proposed text amendments don't include any development, so the policies of this chapter don't apply directly to the current proposal. However, some of the policies of this section may be imposed during future site plan review, as some of the policies are implemented through the zoning ordinance. So it will maybe loosely connect to it, but it will be reviewed at time of application. And then finally, review of these state administrative rules and the statewide planning goals. They're sound very similar because the comp plan addresses those statewide planning goals, but it's something we need to analyze anyways. Again, goal one, citizen involvement, which I referenced a couple of times already, but as far as the notice, it has been in compliance. Land use planning, goal two, requirements require the city to have a process for addressing land use planning issues, and I mentioned the proposed amendments meet these requirements by following the appropriate procedures that have been set out and considering the goals and policies. Goal 3, 4, and 5 are not directly applicable. Goal 6, air, water, and land resources quality, is worth mentioning, I think, just because it is a topic that comes up with this business sometimes. This goal requires local comprehensive plans and implementing measures to be consistent with state and federal regulations on matters such as groundwater pollution. And again, the intent of the amendments are consistent with the air, water, and land resources goal policies, as indoor agriculture is proposed to be a conditional use, which requires demonstrated compliance with other state and federal regulations during that conditional use process. The addition of indoor agriculture in the industrial zone as a conditional use does not relieve the applicant from compliance with city, state, or federal air, water, or land resource requirements. Goal 9, economic development, very similar to what I mentioned for the comp plan. This goal calls for diversification and improvement of the economy. So these proposed amendments do add a new use to the industrial zone, diversifying the business development opportunities. And the other goals are not directly applicable to these amendments. I would call it goal 12, transportation, just because it is, again, a goal that's addressed regularly, and that goal is to provide safe and convenient and economic transportation system. But these proposed amendments do not adversely affect the city's ability to provide a safe and convenient economic transportation system. They're not site-specific, therefore do not affect the functional classification of any street. So we don't have to go into further detail on addressing the transportation impacts of the proposed amendments. My conclusion on that will be that based on the criteria that are before us, the proposed indoor agriculture amendments to the zoning ordinance meet Lapine Land Use Procedures Code criteria, comprehensive plan goals and policies, and are consistent with the applicable state land use laws. And based on the findings and evidence available at the time this report was prepared, staff recommends the Planning Commission recommend the indoor agricultural proposed amendments for approval to City Council. And I'm open to any and all questions either before or after your public testimony.
As far as this growing operation, was there any, did they have to get any kind of site approval beforehand?
You're referencing the existing growing facility. I don't know the history on that. I think that predated the two of us, certainly. I don't know the history on that.
What was your question? I was reading something.
Did they have to provide a site plan in that industrial park for the growing operation that's there now? Or how does that work?
Not come here because she'd get mad because it's not on her record.
It's already on.
Oh, yeah, so that was built as a rental building. So the site plan was done. That was actually done before the city took them over. That went through the county.
Okay.
But he filed a site plan. And the reason I remember well is that he didn't put his sidewalk in and didn't put the number of trees he put in the site plan. And so the county wouldn't give him an occupancy until I looked at that. And I went back and I said, well, sir, you didn't build a sidewalk. And he said, well, there's none around. And I said, that's a different discussion. Your site plan has one. I'm not signing an occupancy. But he had no tenant. So it was a spec building. So they don't have to do a site plan. Now, it would be things he did inside, you know, through the building codes, if it was an empty shell and they're going to put walls in, that all goes through the county. So that's a little bit of a weakness in our system that people, because rental buildings, tenants come and go. We now would require that, you know, someone would come in because we have a business license. That's why we argued for the business license. And that's how we ultimately discovered that he had, who he had in there was actually through the business license process. And they were already there when we went.
How long have they been there?
A couple.
3 years, probably.
Yeah. It's medical marijuana. And, you know, it was before the vote even on recreational. So the world changed, you know, a lot. That was when, you know, medical has been legal since it's like 98 or something. I mean, people forget that. Medical marijuana has been around a long time. And so he, you know, I think that the owner knew he was renting to that. And, you know, looking back on it all now. And of course, when they apply for things, is the wording is real interesting. We got good at it. People can try everything in the world. It's you know, a wellness center. You know, it's a garden. We know, we've seen it all, we've heard it all. So we don't even get fooled by that anymore. You can call it anything in the world, and we will catch it because you can tell immediately what's going on there. But you know, they're there, and. I guess operating just fine. State policemen, remember we talked about the state policemen over, and they've toured it. County sheriff sergeants toured it.
Have there been any complaints over that?
None. They're inside, you don't even know what's going on. Occasionally they'll open a door to let some air in, but.
Do you know how many people they employ?
Oh, well, I've been there one. But that building, you know, that's not, you're talking, the building is not even 5,000 feet. And so, and when I was there, he was probably only half. What he did on the one side, he was growing, I'm not going to use the right terms, but the little ones. He was starting them, and then, you know, he was moving them along, and then over on the other side, they were big, and he had only occupied about half of that other side or less with lights hanging down. But they had that all, they had electricians wired up. I mean, these guys weren't running extension cords around, you know, it was all done through the codes that way, as far as I know. They were also, then they were crybacking it for sale to stores. So it was going off to other marijuana stores. So it was packaged and, you know, he showed us the labels and, you know, non-edible and all the different little things that are required.
So they are processing there also?
Well, they package it.
So that's a difference.
So I guess that's processing. I don't know what all they do, but, They put it into little bags and it's cryvacked, sealed, and labeled to meet the Oregon laws. And their licenses were all on the wall because under that, now that's all kind of going to change, but they were all Californians, interestingly, so you know what that means. That was just part of the game. So they had like 10 or I don't know how many licenses from Californians who needed medical marijuana. And under the law, anything that person didn't use is considered extra. And then you can sell it to dispensaries or trade it. It's just kind of a, you know, it's a little bit of an interesting system. So you know that those were people, you know, they weren't real people that needed it. But that's just, you know, that's how it's done. But I do believe there's a lot of changes coming with all that. Because, A, they're going to allow you to do both. And, you know, so I don't know where it's all going to go. And I don't attempt to know all of the ins and outs of it.
Well, I also have a bigger concern as far as everybody that's coming into that park. Do we look at every, I mean, isn't there a site plan that we look at for each one?
Now.
Okay. I just want to make that clear that nobody goes in there without the city reviewing that.
Site plan is reviewed for every development in the city now other than single family residences.
Yeah, so, and we're just changing some of the rules that you already adopted. The council worked on them tonight, you know, are increasing some of those, kind of the review with site plan review. That was a little bit weak in our code, but I think now we've gotten a little more teeth where we can look at things. It's part of that growing process and amending some of these. So someone will have to, you know, with the things that these folks have put up there, you know, requiring a little bit more of a rigid structure, more of a not allowing the hoop house that you saw with blowing in the wind, and you've all seen them around neighborhoods, you know, with their backyard gardens. So I think we'll be pretty good. Is it perfect? Are we going to have to make some more changes down the road? Probably. Remember, it's a new industry. This is a frontier, and it's changing, and laws are going to change, and all we can try to do is the best we can, you know, at the same time. You know, it's actually a gentleman sitting out here that they called me about the modulars, and so they, you know, they worked on that today to kind of come up with the difference of that, so to better define it. What is a modular? What's a trailer? We'll learn as we go, but this is, I think the staff has done a great job on getting, we've covered it pretty good, and I think people that are serious about coming here can come. Those that were just looking to kind of wing it, they won't like this.
You know, there was something I read in the paper today or yesterday about a company that's a national company, and they've got a processing plant in Washington and in Colorado and in one other state, and that's supposed to get them out of being able to cross lines, state lines, with their processed product.
Who knows? As much pot is being grown, or plans to be grown, I should say, in Oregon, there's a whole lot of product leaving Oregon.
I know.
Now, I don't know if it's legal or not, and I don't know that it's leaving Oregon, but I have a feeling with all of it that's growing, it's got to be. But, you know, time will tell. And we have not yet had anyone actually, you know, we've got talk, some of the guys sitting out here, and we've had people come around and kick tires. We've not actually had anyone yet, but they're also smart. They're waiting for all these processes, you know, to make sure that you don't, and that's good, you know, and they've been patient, you know. Thank you for these guys for doing that, you know, so we get through this. But there's two or three that are probably going to try to do something, I think, after we're done with this.
You had the hoop houses, but I've also seen the Quonset hut, and that was not, they're the rounded buildings, but they're made out of metal, but they are a permanent structure.
They're made out of metal, or they're on a foundation, they're a rigid structure, mm-hmm. They check the boxes.
We don't have designs. That would be more of a design standard issue. A Quonset hut, I haven't seen too many Quonset huts built. They're, you know, usually they're 40, 50 years old, around, you know, you've seen the gymnasiums.
World War II.
Right.
Yeah. There's no advantage, to be honest, with the way they do metal buildings anymore. They're going to build them. They're not going to do a Quonset hut because it's just not done that way anymore. So you probably don't have to worry about a Quonset hut. But it is a structure. It's engineered. It you may think it's ugly, but you couldn't stop that.
Any questions, Norm?
Well, all those will have to go through the site plan anyway, and building codes. What about addressing, has anybody ever addressed the smells? Is that handled under state laws? You know, most of those?
There are some, I don't know if there's a handle specifically under state laws. We can see if some of the public folks want to comment on that, and they're during public testimony. There are within the, why don't I just read the conditional use general criteria? I think that might be helpful, additional information.
And while she's finding that, I'll just add that I've heard the site plan review process mentioned a few times, which is essentially looking at the structure that's going to be built on the parcel and certain public improvements that might be required and setbacks and landscaping and things like that. But prior to that, similar to what we had last week, with the medicinals conditional use application. The way this is presented now is that these would be conditional uses. So you would, they would be at the Planning Commission prior to a site plan being submitted. So there, that's an extra layer of review, call it. And then Tammy can elaborate on that.
Now, I'll just read the general criteria for conditional use permits, just so you're aware of it. A is the proposal is in compliance with the requirements set forth by the applicable primary zone, by any applicable combining or overlay zone, and any other provisions set forth by this ordinance that are deemed applicable to the subject use. So if there are any other criteria that are developed for the industrial zone, those would apply to the use. B, that for a proposal requiring approvals or permits from other local, state, and or federal agencies, evidence of the approval or permit compliance is established or can be assured prior to final approval. So that addresses the other local, state, and federal requirements. That doesn't specifically address your question, Norm, about smells. C, the proposal is in compliance with specific standards, conditions, and limitations set forth for the subject use in the applicable zone, this section and this ordinance. D, that no approval be granted for any use which is or expected to be found to exceed resource or public facility carrying capacities, including but not limited to transportation, water, sewer, and utility systems. And E, for any use which is found to require compliance with air, water, land, solid waste, and or noise pollution standards, that the compliance be a condition of approval and compliance therewith shall be a continuing condition. So as far as development of these proposed ordinance to reference smells, no, there's not a specific criteria set. The city does have some nuisance requirements that I would defer to Corey or Rick to explain in more detail as code enforcement, but the proposed amendments don't include specific requirements. It would have to rely on what's in the general criteria of what the state requirements are.
Doug?
Well, I think what you prepared there is very good, very comprehensive. I agree with Rick. We're probably going to have to make changes as we go along because this is all brand new. Based on that, as long as the city is able to keep their eye on things, don't let anything get out of hand, that I'm all for it. I mean, it looks pretty good to me.
Don?
If a lot of the information that was given us last week on how they are going to control the building and how they're going to set it up inside and how they're going to control all of these various issues that we've been talking about, it appears to me that the city has adequate safeguards by saying these have to be complied with or you cannot use the permit. So looking at it from that standpoint, I'm in favor of it.
Gloria, could I make a suggestion? This morning, I would suggest that we would go to public comment before any opinions are formed too strongly by the commission, so that you can hear from the public and then have some more discourse up here at the dais.
Okay, at this time, I'll open it for public comment. You state your name and address, please. And then how to see.
Make sure your mic's on.
Is that on?
Okay.
Should be.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, my name is Christopher Smith, and I'm a property owner in the industrial area, 16610 on Dillon Way. I own three different lots there, specifically to be involved with the marijuana industry. And I appreciate, I know you guys have been doing this on shorter notice to kind of get this moving forward, and in the end, I really benefit from that, as well as my organization, so I appreciate the efforts that have been put forward to this point. I want to address a couple issues. First of all, Gloria, you're not going to worry about Quonset huts because they're very inefficient. So anybody that's serious about this isn't going to put a structure in like that, long way from it. It'll end up costing a lot of money in the long run, so you're not going to have to worry about that. Norman, the OLCC mandates has a large 90-page manual on a lot of stuff as how the marijuana industry is going to be handled in the future. We're not really there yet because a lot of the cities and townships haven't figured out how they want to control it, as they should, because when you create a lot of gray areas, someone takes advantage of it, and the community generally ends up suffering at that point. But as far as the odor goes, you're concerned, there are some guidelines, and it's not going to be an issue, I don't believe, long term. And that's dictated by the OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. So a lot of those little things that you guys seem to have concern about are already massaged out. And where that works out in the end is there's a land use compatibility form that needs to be signed off by the city of Lapine. And unless everything is kosher with the city, then you guys don't sign it off, then you can't get a license and you can't be legally selling or growing or processing marijuana to any level. That's it. You can't even get to square one, because square one is the land use compatibility issue, and that is why we're still sitting here waiting to see what happens, because we are still standing at the starting line saying, let's get in business and let's bring some jobs to this community, you know? So thank you for listening to that. Don, you know, one thing I would like to focus on is I'm a law-abiding citizen, and there's always going to be people that try to take advantage and do things under the carpet, you know. But really why we're doing this and it is to help the law-abiding people that want to bring a legitimate business that is going to follow code and all that to Lapine. And that's, you know, that's really important to me, because I'm a landowner here. And believe me, if I'm going to go into the business park, I don't want somebody building a hoop house next to a structure that I want to build that's going to be efficient and good. You know, some fly-by-night of the operation, like he said, you know, this Visqueen flying down the road. You know, it snows, we have our 100-year storm, and next thing you know, there's workers in there, and then it flattens out, and you're on the news, and these people died, and, you know, that doesn't make Lapine look very good, you know, and that, no, I don't want that as an owner, and I'm sure you don't either, you know, so I appreciate your time in working on this issue with all of us. Now, as far as the text amendments, couple points. Processing, it appears that now processing marijuana is not part of the agricultural definition at all. Am I correct in that, Corey?
The way...
in this text amendment.
Well, prior to any of these text amendments, the way that it was expressed in our code was agricultural processing establishments. And when I first looked at that, A, I'm not a planner, B, I'm not a lawyer, I went, oh, it says agriculture in the term, right? Well, yes, but no, it's agricultural processing. So processing is that qualifying term that says it's not agriculture, it's agricultural processing. So when I think of that, I think of the analogy that I used with the raw material being converted into some other product. What exactly that means in relation to marijuana, I'm not entirely sure because I'm not too familiar with the industry. I know I'm not directly answering your question, but I think what I'm trying to say is that these do not impact agricultural processing establishments.
Is your reference to the amended definition for agriculture?
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Oh, you mean on the top?
What I'm seeing is the original definition references, let's see here, animal raising care and processing is separately defined and regulated by this ordinance. Agriculture includes necessary uses for packing, treating, or storing the produce. Okay, so we're talking packing, treating.
Right.
Treating.
Right.
Now, I'm going to make this, try to get this around quickly so we don't spend a lot of our time tonight. Okay, my concern is this, all right, and this doesn't even apply to my business model because I just want to grow and I want to sell it to the retailers that are legally selling it, the businesses that are about. The treating is the same, close to the same word as processing, because that's what you're doing. And here's the concern for the community. If you remove treating or processing out of the definition as I see it, that allows somebody that's going to treat or process the product to not have to have the business in an agriculturally zoned area. And if that is the case and it's blank, you could have a processing facility in a residential area. And you may or may not know this, but processing is an extremely dangerous thing. You have to use chemicals. So there have been houses that have blown up, kind of like when you have a propane leak and then somebody's stove kicks on and then it entirely goes up. It can happen like that, and it has happened. Creating a situation where that can occur in processing, all right, in the community is a really bad thing, I think.
The proposed definition change in the amended definition, the one on the top,
mm-hmm.
the purpose of that change is to exactly prohibit processing in residential zones, because the way our code is set up, it has a definition for agriculture, and then we are suggesting a definition for indoor agriculture. Currently, as it stands now, agriculture is a conditional use in a residential zone. By adding that last sentence in the amended definition of agriculture, we're saying, yes, that's allowed. But agriculture does not include the sale, cultivation, production, or processing of marijuana or marijuana products, or such activities require registration, licensing, or other approval, aka commercial, uses from the state. So, unless I'm missing something on that, am I summing that up appropriately?
That's correct, but I want to make sure we understand his
question, yeah.
Point. But what Corey is saying is correct, that by adding the sentence at the end of the definition of agriculture, we're making it explicit that marijuana production processing is not to be allowed under general agricultural use, which is a conditional use in the residential zone. So we're making sure that this is not occurring in the residential zone.
Okay, I was under the
impression. Make sure we're understanding your question correctly.
Thank you for clarifying. I was under the impression that the amended definition was being replaced by the insert definition. And the insert definition, it sounds, is in lieu of the prior definition as well. Okay,
that's
perfect.
Correct, yes.
Well, then
they both stand. We want to make it very clear that there are two different types of agriculture in the city.
Okay.
There's one that is specifically indoor, and then there's one that is allowed in the residential zones that includes a lot more options.
Excellent. Thank
but
you.
Not processing.
Sorry for not.
That's no. That's
thank
that's
you.
Cool.
It's great to have that kind of dialogue. I appreciate it.
The one thing that brings concern to me is the actual in the way it's written. And thank you for bringing those pictures of the modular units versus the trailers, okay? It is closely followed by, in the definition, and similar structures. That's a pretty vague term, and I don't know if you built it that way on purpose to allow yourself a little bit of flexibility in the future. Potentially, if you get somebody to throw you an ace in the hole or something like that, but the way I read that is, you know, I'm looking at the definition of what a trailer is and what a modular unit is. When I look at those pictures, they're very similar. And a lot of businesses that might occupy the industrial area in the future, agriculture or otherwise, are going to use trailers. They don't, you know, so I would appreciate more definition in between the modular and the trailers, because I think that you're going to, I think you're probably going to run into a problem there, because they are already similar, very, very similar.
It is a fine line, and we talked about that today quite at great length. The definition of trailer in the zoning ordinance is any licensed or unlicensed piece of mobile equipment designed or constructed to be towed or pulled by a motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So when Corey referenced the photos, once that structure, modular structure, is put on a foundation, you can't hook a trailer up to it tomorrow and pull it away. You have to remove it off the foundation. So that was, I agree, there is a fine line in that discrepancy, but there's always going to be those,
sure,
I think, challenges. And that or similar structures was put in there for that reason that you addressed, that there's no way we can list all the non-permanent structures.
Fair enough. That would be extensive.
It would be.
Yes, and yeah. Probably not very effective time use when we're all busy. You do understand that the modular units are brought in on wheels as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's the only way to get such a structure into place.
Right.
And they come in pieces. And
they come in pieces, mm-hmm. right. The city just wants to see it become a permanent structure once
okay.
it's on the
we,
site.
We don't want to see someone park 4/5 wheels out there and start, it sounds funny, but
no, I know.
Who knows what's going to come here with what kind of propositions and proposals. Very creative people out there. But we included trailer to capture those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Tammy mentioned, we did have some kind of 11th hour conversations today in terms of, okay, trailer. Okay, what does that mean for a modular structure that comes in on a trailer? If you park this there and wanted to try to do marijuana activities inside of it, that's a no-go. If you take this and put it on a foundation and make it a permanent structure that is then applicable to building criteria as well, building code criteria, it is no longer a trailer. So that is the fine line. One thing, as someone who's new to spending time in ordinances and looking at planning documents and land use rules, is that a lot of it is like the law. That's why there's lawyers and that's why there's interpretation. There is room for interpretation, and if you don't put in things like and similar structures, as Tammy mentioned, you can't capture the entire breadth of the intent and purpose of these changes. But I would like to emphasize that I think we've made it pretty clear, and Tammy's worked very hard to make this clear, is what the intent and purpose is, and that's the important part.
And I'm sure under the permitting process, you know, you're going to have to do electrical and plumbing up to them anyway, so that's going to be permitted. It's going to be required. It's going to have wheels on it ready to go still.
Water, sewer, and everything else. That's
yep. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have to go through Deschutes County on that. Yep. I only have one more thing, and I'll be done, and it'll be very quick, and I apologize for the way this has kind of got drawn out. The no sheds and shipping containers. Storage on site is important for any business, especially in agricultural, I would think, because you have a lot of tools and a lot of things that aren't necessarily in the space where you're cultivating the agricultural, right? And the way this looks is it looks like you can't have storage sheds or anything along those lines to store anything, materials on the property.
That is a good point, but the intent of that is that storage sheds and shipping containers are allowed within the industrial zone for storage.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed as the facility for the indoor agricultural use. So the physical growing of the, whether it be marijuana or tomatoes, cannot be done in the shed or the shipping container. But the shed and shipping container can be used for storage.
So you're telling me at the approval process of the land use compatibility, basically you're going to look at the site plan, you're going to actually allow units or structures that would not necessarily, like a shed, would be allowed again to be a property.
If it was specifically for storage. Of,
okay.
Yeah. Not for growing.
Mm-hmm.
And not for storage of product, necessarily. I guess it depends what you were doing in the shed. But storage of your tools and equipment, is an allowed use within the industrial zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That's all I have. Thank you for your patience.
Any other public comments?
Hi.
Your name and address, please.
Kevin Haas, 51473 Hahn. I got a question. This is for all indoor agricultural, correct? We're not just specifying marijuana. I mean, if somebody wants to go and, grow tomatoes, wheatgrass, carrots, whatever, this is what we're doing here.
That's correct. Okay,
I know there's a lot of the marijuana here last week and in November. I just want to read this real fast. The marijuana industry is not going to go away. It has always been here and will always remain. The only difference now than before is being legalized across the nation. And with legalization comes taxes which benefit the communities that are progressive enough to have voted for it to become legal. The taxes for the first month that marijuana was legalized for recreational use bypassed the yearly expectations. Out of those millions of tax dollars, Lapine got zero. Now the city of Lapine has to figure out if it wants to be a progressive city and move forward with growth, or remain stagnant and weather away. I guarantee you that other cities will choose to move forward and reap the benefits and growth for their communities. I hope Lapine would do so also, not only with tonight's meeting, but with future meetings and at the ballot box in November. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. And I will officially call the public hearing closed and open it up to commissioner deliberation. We'll start with you down here. What do you think about all this?
Well, even though personally I'm not in favor of any of this, I do believe that we should govern, if you want to use the term, the way the people want us to govern. And if in November, when the residents of Lapine vote yes or no to recreational marijuana, is that whatever they vote is what we should do. Because after all, they elect us, they put us on the boards, they elect the council, we should do what they say to do. As far as the rules go, you've done a wonderful job on the rules. Okay, and probably will never change. We'll probably have to change the rules as we go along. The one thing I don't like is the term shipping container. I think a shipping container, as you talked about, is completely inappropriate. Someone wants to have a storage shed that can be built properly. But the word, I see too many shipping containers throughout the whole city right now. I don't really think that's appropriate. But whatever, I would, on my part, say yes to this at this point, so that we have the groundwork and the rules in place to govern what we're going to do when the people tell us what we're supposed to do. And I think that's very important that we do that. And that's all I'm going to say.
Well, from my understanding, this doesn't have anything to do with passing recreational marijuana when it comes up. The growers are still legal to grow here anyway, period, as long as we under our rules. Correct?
Under state law, that is my understanding, and I would defer to Corey for the council's decisions on that. As far as our zoning ordinance is written right now, it's silent. So that was the point of bringing this forward, because the zoning ordinance is silent and ambiguous and doesn't address that at all.
Okay.
Because it wasn't legal.
The council voted through referral ordinance to let the citizens of the city of Lapine decide whether they would like to allow retail recreational marijuana. I hesitate to say dispensaries because they're different than a medical dispensary, but a place where you can go and buy marijuana.
Right. That's one issue.
That is the one issue that is being voted on in November.
And that's not what we're voting on here.
That has nothing to do with this. Right. Correct.
Well, I think, as I said, it's a coming thing. It's here. It's going to eventually, hopefully, generate some tax dollars for us. So I have, as long as it's followed the rules and we as a city stay on top of it, and I imagine there will be changes down the line. I am like Doug, I do not like storage containers, period. I think that should be taken out of there. But other than that,
I would just comment on that clarify. the only reference in these text amendments to shipping containers are that they are not an allowed structure for growing. So the reference to shipping containers on the aside with public comment was that the way the code is formed right now and with the text amendments from a few weeks ago that we've all passed, shipping containers were proposed to be banned from the city except within the industrial district or the industrial zone. So that was the reference to the shipping containers. But these amendments do not allow shipping containers for growing.
And we included that specifically because, again, going back to the creative human mind, we had people come to us and say, well, what if we convert storage containers into marijuana grow buildings?
Right.
Well, that's not what we want.
Right.
So,
just comment on that, that I think the shipping containers are historically are used in industrial parks because you go to a mill like Brightwood or Oshoko Lumber or any of those. I mean, they have trailers that get dumped off, and you know, they're basically a shipping container. They put it in there, it's shipped up. Brightwood, as an example, ships overseas. They get, Les Schwab gets tires in shipping containers. Shipping containers are ugly in residential and commercial zones. I don't personally like them if they're cluttered up your industrial park. You've been to see how many are at Les Schwab in Prineville? Thousands. And they're lined up so high that you see them in the distance like a mountain. I think we're going to create jobs. That's just something we can't ban. Secondly, I think you'll feel better about it. As soon as they put a light in it or try to do anything in it, it then triggers a building permit. So no one's going to be able to, if they truly are going to go store their files and their papers, and it's a door that they open with a big heavy thing, and you know they're not particularly airtight, and you know, and it, that's what they're for. You're not going to be able to go in there and put a grow light, and we've checked that out. We met with the county building official, and that's what he said. So they aren't going to become offices. They aren't going to become anything else. So yeah, someone may have one or two on the property in the industrial park, but as far as taking the place of a building that you can operate out of, pretty minimal worry. I don't like them either, and I appreciate your comments on it. And I'm glad that you're banning them in the rest of the town.
Don?
Well, personally, when the whole issue came up, I'm personally voted against medical marijuana and marijuana in general. I've never tried it in my life. I don't know what it's like. I don't feel like at 85 years old and I'm still walking around pretty well that I don't especially need anything like that for pain or anything. So again, if it was up to me, it would not happen. But I've got to look at what's the reality of the situation. And it's like it's been said by you folks and others in the community, it doesn't make any difference what Don Brainer wants. It's coming. And there's nothing that we can do about it. And if this will help make it legal and help give us the control that we need in the city, then I'll vote for the change so that they can get on with their life and make their money. And just because they do it doesn't mean that I have to participate.
Well, personally, I want to thank you for all the work that you have done on doing, you know, putting this together. And yes, definitely, there needed to be some tax changes. And I think that you have done a very good job of making it clearer and giving the city more control over the situation. So that being said, now we vote on How is it that what we're doing? We're recommending?
Right, you would need to recommend, if these amendments and the way they're written are to your satisfaction, you would recommend these to City Council for approval after a hearing, another public hearing.
Okay, so I'm putting forth a recommendation from the Planning Commission to the City Council to adopt these text amendment changes. And can I get a...
I so move.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And I lost my fortune call here. agenda. Okay, we don't have any other matters, right? So we'll go to staff comments.
Anything else?
None for me.
Okay.
The only thing I would add is that in May, the council meeting, there will not be two council meetings in May, there will be one, and they have stole your day, the third Wednesday in May. So that council meeting will be on May 18th, so we will need to reschedule the Planning Commission meeting. I think my first gut suggestion would be to move it to that Tuesday evening on the 17th, but I can reach out to you individually. This city staff will find out what works best for you, and we'll get that scheduled as soon as possible so that hopefully it works with everybody's calendar.
Okay, I'll have to look at my calendar.
So, just a heads up, I'll check in with you. Will you? Okay.
All right, Planning Commissioner comments. So I'll start with you, Don.
I think I made all of my comments.
Okay. How about you, Norm?
No, I'm good.
Off the subject, are we going to have something happen with Alonzo?
I talked to Orlando today, and he has a meeting with his work tomorrow at 11. We talked about his need for you guys, for him to be here, and also that if he felt like he needed to leave the position, that there were people who were willing to take it. So it wasn't like he was falling short of his duties by saying he couldn't do it anymore. He's going to call me tomorrow afternoon and let me know what his decision is once he talks to his work about what they want from him. But he's had some battles with this and that, so that we'll know more about that tomorrow.
Okay, I'll let last
comment. Is there something going on with the computer system? Because the last couple of weeks, I can't get anything up on the computer.
What do you mean?
Well, Patty sent something out yesterday or the day before, and it wouldn't come up. And I think Don had the same problem, didn't you?
Yes, but I think I can tell somebody how to do that. I finally found a way today.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Don.
The little tab on the corner that you have to flip.